Good morning. Hey, that's a little bit more peppier than usual. When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts. Let's open up the Word of God. Why? So we can rightly divide it, so we can apply it, right? Today is 5/29/2020. And 22. Why the? I'm 66 last week, right? Anyway, I'm going to be titling this part two of Christ the Cornerstone. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. But before anything, first things first, let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege and the blessing to call you Father, Abba, Papa. Thank you for that intimacy we have with you. And thank you for speaking to us through your word, Father, as we rightly divide it. I pray your Holy Spirit builds us up in this firm foundation of grace truth. And we understand it, and we understand Paul's unique apostleship and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and the mystery. I pray your Holy Spirit just illumines everyone's mind to grasp these wonderful spiritual truths and riches we have in Christ that our Apostle Paul writes to us about. And I pray for the pastor as he teaches church later and his message, that your Holy Spirit just empowers him in both of these services, that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. Through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's go to Ephesians, jump in right away. 2:19-20. Let's read it. I'll refresh your memories from last week without going over the whole thing again. I'll control myself. Let's read it. Ephesians 2:19-20. Now, you see there's been a change when you see now, right? Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So these verses are, you know, this area here is a little technical in a way, and I think it can confuse people. Just like, you know, that verse I was talking to Mary, she gets a little preview, a little commercial on the, sometimes on the way here, we'll talk about the message. You know, where Christ talked about two men that were in Christ before him. Now, from a mid-Acts Pauline understanding, dispensational understanding, we know Paul in Ephesians 1:15-16 says that he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe thereafter. So we know Paul's the first person in the body of Christ, right? When he gets saved, the dispensation of grace begins. Well, then how were two men in Christ before him? See, especially young believers, I think those verses thrown for a loop. You know, it's very confusing. But I think I had won over that already in Ephesians, I believe. He didn't say they were in the body of Christ, did he? In Christ. They were identified with Christ, but what? According to prophecy, they trusted him as their Messiah and King. We're in Christ and we're in the body of Christ. The church today that you only read about in Paul's epistles, you won't find outside of Paul's epistles where it says the term the body of Christ, that title. We're in the body of Christ, but we're in Christ, but according to mystery. So see how when you rightly divide the word in context and you compare verse by verse, you don't get confused then. But here's another verse just like that that can confuse people, because in verse 20, He says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, that may, if you just go to that verse and you don't read the whole context of the whole chapter, you're going to think that the body of Christ is built upon, the just like covenant theologians believe. The body of Christ, there's only been one church. The Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the New Testament. But so we're going to look at this, and somebody's got this look on your face like, where's he going with this? Anyway, let me just warm up your memory from last week. In Ephesians, let's read it again, 19:2-19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. He's talking about the body of Christ now in the dispensation of grace, but fellow citizens with the saints. Saints in the body of Christ, not Israel's church, not the 12, Peter and the 11, not the ones on Pentecost, the 220 or something, and then it was added to, but, and of the household of God. And if you see something there, it's kind of nice. We're not strangers now to God, right? We're fellow citizens of what? Heaven, right? We ain't waiting for a kingdom come on earth. We're waiting to go to heaven, right? In the rapture. And you see, in the household of God, we're part of the family of God. And we're family, you know, and I think I see that in our church a lot. Like a overall close-knit spiritual family, you know. I love coming. It's like a family reunion every week when we come together, you know? And so let me just read you my notes from last week. So there's been a change in status with our relationship with God. How, when did it happen? It was by the cross, but it wasn't known at the cross, was it? Peter didn't preach that, right? It's not till Paul gets saved, and Paul tells us the law was nailed to the cross, right? We're fellow citizens now with the saints. So there's no thought here of being fellow citizens with the nation of Israel and their prophetic earthly kingdom that Christ will bring in after the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, the trib. So we're fellow citizens with the saints and the body of Christ, and we have a heavenly hope. Now, part two. How do you do? Let's read verse 20 now. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. A cornerstone is what they make the building from. It's a cornerstone. And everything else is built on that. It's like a foundation. So let's look at who were the apostles and prophets. Because he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So what does that make you think about, in a way? The Old Testament prophets, right? Then the 12 apostles.
I'm going to ask a question though.
If at the end, if you want. Okay. We'll go ahead real quick, but go ahead. If you want, real quick.
Okay, verse 20, when it says, and I built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, when it says apostles, that includes Paul, too. Now, he was one, as he said, due out of due time. So now that would include him, too, wouldn't it?
Paul was an apostle, but he's the unique apostle. But this is not speaking, we're going to see, of the 12. Or the Old Testament prophets. Let's take a look at who are these apostles and prophets? Because Paul's not writing about the 12 kingdom apostles and the Old Testament prophets. Then who are they? Go to Ephesians 3:8-9. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given. The dispensation of grace was given to Paul. He's a steward. That I should preach among the Gentiles, listen to this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't find it in the Old Testament and the prophetical writings. Christ didn't teach it in his early ministry. The 12 kingdom apostles weren't preaching these unsearchable riches of Christ. It's to Paul it was revealed, right? And to us in Paul's letters. And to make all see what is the fellowship. And again, I always say in the Greek that can be translated dispensation. So what is the fellowship or dispensation of the mystery? That's what we live in. He's talking about the dispensation of grace, which from the beginning of the world. So since God created the world, has been hid in God. God kept a secret in his heart and mind. Paul tells us it's that mystery. It's all about the body of Christ, the body of truth, our identity, our spiritual riches, the finality of the cross, the reality of the resurrection. And at the end, we'll see how the death, burial, and resurrection applies to Israel's program and how it applies to our program, because we have some things in common. Right? They were saved by what? Anyone in any dispensation has always been saved only on the merits of what Christ did. But the Old Testament saints were like saved on a credit card system. You get it now, but it's paid for later. Ours is paid up front, right? God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, right? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God, they didn't believe the same gospel as we believe. You know, there's different gospels in the Bible. There was good news to Abraham, right? What about David? Good news of a kingdom, right? Through his seed, there would be a king that would sit on David's throne. That's why we have to rightly divide the word. So let's... All right, Ephesians 3:8-9 again. Unto me, who am less than the least all the saints, is this grace given, that I, Paul, should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You ain't going to find it outside of Paul's epistles. And to make, what does Paul want? And this should be our goal. I know I pray about this all the time. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mysterion in the Greek, it means a secret, a sacred secret. And it was hidden in the heart of God until God in Christ reveals it to Paul. And then we can read about it now. Aren't you glad to know about these spiritual riches? You're rich if you're in Christ. Bunch of rich people. And sometimes we're just, oh, I can't afford a new car. I'm going to listen to Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, maybe I'll confess me a car. I always say, you know, like the Pentecostals, they go to James about anointing the sick with oil, or and then they'll put oil on the windows to keep demons out and oil on the car instead of putting oil in the car. Maybe it wouldn't break down if they would put oil in the car. And again, I always say, I love my Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters. Some of them got such a zeal for the Lord, but a lot of times it's without knowledge. I used to be one, so I know. But it has been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So go to Ephesians 3:1-6. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So who's Paul writing to? He's our apostle to the Gentiles, right? The body of Christ. If you have heard of the dispensation of God, what did he say in 9? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, and that can be translated dispensation. So if you have heard in verse 2 in chapter 3, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, Paul, uniquely, for who? You word, the body of Christ. How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. And what do you think he's talking about there? In Ephesians 2, I believe, where he said in time past, then but now, things to come. So he shares with them how to rightly divide the word. That's how you rightly divide the word. When you're studying God's word, how do you know? And I went over this. So listen up, because you might be tested, right? And if people know they're going to be tested, why do you study? Test, right? How do you know when you're in time past when you're studying God's word? What tells you you're in time past? Huh?
Written to the Jews?
Yeah, but how do you know that?
Before.
When you see...
See, if you can see in the context where there's a distinction between Israel and the body of Christ.
Right. So when you see circumcision, there's still a difference between Jew and Gentile, and the law is being taught, you're in time past. Remember we went over that? Myrtle, that coffee ain't strong enough. Put a little bit of extra in there. So, how do you know when you're in but now? The dispensation of grace. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. We're one in Christ, right? And how do you know then when you're in things to come? Hebrews through Revelation. There's a distinction again between Jew and Gentile. The Jews are going to be a kingdom of priests, right? God promised them that. So, all right, Ephesians, what did I say? 3:1-6. So if you have heard of the dispensation and grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge into the mystery, the secret of Christ, which in other ages, see, before Paul, before the dispensation of grace began, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So, you see where he's talking about? It's been revealed in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. As it is, see, there's a change now. Now, see? But now. Look at words. When you study the Bible, don't just read it or you'll miss out on a lot. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So is that talking about Peter and the Old Testament? If it's unsearchable in time past, right, since the world began, he ain't talking about them. Well, what's he talking about? And some of you are looking at me like, what you talking about, Paul? Go to, I'm going to explain it to you, let God's word explain it to you. Ephesians 4. 7-12. Think about it. When Christ saved Paul in Acts 9, all Paul knew about was Israel's prophetic program, right? He was a Pharisee. You know, he was moving up in his religion, right? That's all he knew. All of a sudden, Christ brings in a new dispensation with new commands. A whole new program. But did Christ sit down in 45 minutes, like I'm trying to do here, and with them? No. Paul says in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 2nd, that I'll come the revelations and visions. So in the book of Corinthians is an earlier Acts book that Paul wrote. Well, he didn't get that whole body of truth yet. Christ gave it to him over time, from Acts 9 all the way through till Acts 28. By Paul's predecessor epistles, he says it was given to him in Colossians 2:25. to complete the Word of God, to perfect it. That means complete. By that time, he got it, right? So it's a whole new program. Well, how are believers going to know the doctrine? Well, Christ reveals it directly to Paul, but the Holy Spirit is also using in the body of Christ the office of prophet and apostle. And let's just keep reading and we'll see. And so Christ directly reveals it to Paul, but the Holy Spirit is also unfolding it to prophets and apostles because they needed it, right? This is new information, right? You got a lot of churches. Paul can't be in every church. So you got apostles and prophets. They learn from Paul. Holy Spirit reveals it to them also, and it goes out to the body of Christ. Now we got it in Paul's epistles. So he says, verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So he's going to give, we're going to see some men that are gifted, apostles and prophets, and also pastors and teachers. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far and above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So let me ask some. Is this before his death, burial, and resurrection, or after? After. So it's not talking about the 12 he appointed for Israel, that he told them you'll sit on 12 tribes, 12 thrones in the kingdom, judging in 12 tribes of Israel. This is after his ascension and glorification at the right hand of the Father. And what did he do? And he gave some apostles. See, these were apostles in the early stages of the dispensation of grace, the early forming of the body of Christ, before we get Paul got that whole body of truth he calls a mystery. Are you starting to see now? Okay. And he gave some, how far am I going, 12? And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. So the idea is maturing. For the work of the ministry, for an edifying of the body of Christ. So these men had these gifts, just like tongues were going on then, right? Prophecy, knowledge. But Paul tells us when all these things, when these men died, their gift died out. And also when the Word of God got completed. If you notice in Paul's early epistles, he's doing a lot of healing, right? Later, he tells Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach, stomach infirmities, right? I left Trophimus sick. Why didn't he send him an anointed prayer apron? Before they were doing that. You know, you've seen even Peter, his shadow, people are getting healed. And Paul had the same signs. Why? To prove he was an apostle. Anybody can say, hey, at the rehab center, there's some characters there. Because you have drug addicts, you have schizophrenic people, bipolar people, you know, all kinds of labels. And one dude come up and says, you know my name? I'm Moses and Elijah. You read about me in the Bible. I says, I don't think so, dude. You can't be two people in one unless, you know, maybe you got a split personality. No, I ain't. Yes, I am. No, I ain't. Right? But so anybody could come and say, hey, I got some new revelation. Benny Hinn says that, don't he? What's her name? Joyce Myers. Got some new revelation knowledge for you. You got another word in faither. Said, I've been to heaven and I splashed with Jesus in the crystal sea. when Paul says Christ appeared to him last of all, I know these people said the books they write, been to hell and back, or heaven and back. I know it ain't true. Yeah, and you hear different versions, and the second book sometimes contradicts what the first book. But hey, they're getting rich on naive people. Biblical. Bill's going, some of them I think are smoking the wacky weed. So anyway, that's what Paul's talking about, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It was in those in the body of Christ, not the Old Testament prophets, not the 12. They have their own, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. So how long would the gift and office of apostles and prophets last? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Through 31. Like in verse 1, he's talking about, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. There's a lot of people today that are ignorant about spiritual gifts. I used to be one. They think tongues are still going on. God's speaking for it. There's prophets and apostles. There's a whole movement. The Apostolic Reformation, they call it. It's a really bad movement. But that's not what I'm here for today. Verse 27 to 31. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So again, we're the body of Christ, right? Amen. Not the kingdom church. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Now that demands I forget what they call that. It's a question that demands a certain answer. No. Yet, you know, that movement, they have a school that you can pay them to learn to be a prophet. Anybody can become a prophet. Just send us your money. And God's going to give you the hundredfold blessing. Read Malachi. Last book in the Old Testament to Israel. They weren't all. It was different gifts they had. But the sign gifts were temporarily in nature. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? What's the answer? No. Do all speak with tongues? Well, according to the Pentecostal church I went to, they used to tell everybody, come up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went up every week. But I'm not easily manipulated. They'd say, just move your tongue. The assistant pastor laying hands on me, he says, I can see the Holy Spirit all over you. Let your tongue go. I'm like, if it's going to happen, it'll be the Holy Spirit who does it, not, you know. And then they'd add a class, learn to speak in tongues. Not everybody spoke in tongues. Even the Corinthians were faking it. They were impressed with tongues. Immature toys. Paul says, don't get attached to toys, these spiritual toys. They're going to pass from the scene. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he talks about love, right? Go to chapter 13, 8 through 11. Charity, and that's the word agape. That's the kind of love God's got. Never faileth. So the idea there is it never ends. Love is never going to end. But whether there be prophecies, so who speaks the prophecies? Somebody with the gift of prophecy, right? Whether that, so that's, this is telling you these gifts are going to go off the same. And when? Because, you know, my charismatic brother and sisters, they would say, because Paul's going to say, when that which is perfect has come, these things will cease. So they say, well, Jesus is the only one perfect, but that can't fly. That's why I love going to Greek, because that word has the idea of, it's in the neuter. That which is perfect is in the neuter. And that means it's a thing, not a person. So it ain't Christ. What's the only thing today that's perfect? The Word of God. When the Word of God is completed. And Paul, in the context, let's keep reading it. Charity never faileth, but where there is, where there be prophecies, they shall fail. That means it's going to come to an end, that gift. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. In the Greek, it means they'll cause themselves to cease. There won't be a purpose for it anymore. There was a purpose for tongues, especially in the kingdom program. You know why? They were supposed to go into all the world and preach the kingdom gospel, right? Starting in Israel first. Well, if you're going to all the world, does everybody speak your language? So they need to be able to speak in tongues. And guess what? After the rapture, 7-year trib, and Christ comes back and they're going to be a kingdom of priests, they'll once again need that gift. And I like the pastor brought up, I had never thought about it. You know how Christ gave them power, the kingdom apostles? They could drink poisons, pick up serpents. Well, during the tribulation period, they're going to need them powers. Because you know how the water is going to turn part of the water to wormwood? And also, you're going to get them creatures with like scorpion-like tails, serpent type. They're going to need them that protection, right? So you see how it makes sense when you understand the purpose of them sign gifts and tongues and things like that. So he says, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So is there one day going to be no knowledge? I know some people that I wonder. Common sense is not so common anymore, right? No, what it's saying, it's going to stop the gift of knowledge. I think, you know, I won't argue with anybody, and if you have a different idea, you could come with me, and I'll listen. Come to me, and I'll listen after today or another week. But I believe Peter was using the gift of knowledge when Ananias and Sapphira lied about selling all they had. How did he know they were lying? And he said, "You've lied to the Holy Spirit," and he all said, "You've lied to God, so what's that tell you? The Holy Spirit is God, right? Not like Jehovah's Witnesses say, he's just some power like electricity. He's a person. You can't lie to an electric socket, right?" So anyway, these gifts, tongues, so prophecies are prophet, tongues, languages, having a special ability that the Holy Spirit gives you to speak a language you never learned. They shall cease, whether there be knowledge, that's the gift. It shall vanish away. For we know in part. See, at this time, didn't Paul say he'll come to revelations and visions from the Lord? He had partial knowledge at this time. He didn't have that whole body of truth that we have now in his epistles that we can study. So he says, we know in part. Always look at when you ask who's speaking or writing, whom are they speaking or writing to. Read Miles Coverdale. I got it up in my house someplace. He's the one, but he says it in old English words. At what time? See the idea? What dispensation? Or what time in history? Well, this is the early forming of the body of Christ, the immature stage. Remember, Israel's program with the stoning of Stephen was diminishing out, and that was completely set aside by Acts 28. Three strikes, you're out. Paul said in Acts 13, I go to the Gentiles. In 18, I go to Gentiles. 28, you stiff neck, right? That's it. Baseball, Al likes baseball. How many strikes and you're out, Al?
3, 4.
Oh, you've been bribing that ref again. So their program was phasing out, but remember, there was two churches for a while. That kingdom church, right, Peter and all them. Remember Paul says Christ appeared to over 500 at once. Most are still living at his resurrection, after his resurrection. Okay, so you got two churches. So don't go to the book of Acts trying to get your doctrine for how God's working today. The book of Acts is a book of transition. In Acts 9, Paul gets saved, right? So Stephen, they kill Stephen. That's it. God's diminishing their program out. But he's still reaching out to individual Jews. Paul gets saved, and our program's coming, and it's growing, and he's getting more and more new information about it. Till by Acts 28, he got it all. Praise God. We got it all. And you know, I wonder sometimes, such wonderful truths that set us free. Free from the flesh, free from the law, performance, and, you know, the law that just breaks your back because it demands perfection. And we have righteousness in Christ. But people don't take the time to study. We need to. I'm so glad through the years, I was telling the pastor, I was able to, most of you know, I'm a professional dog trainer. So I had my own business. I made my own hours. And I would stay up till 1, 2 in the morning studying because I could make my hours later for years. I didn't go to Bible school, but I've read probably more books than most of the students in the Berean Bible Institute will read while they're in school. I read most of, like Mary's in it, all the books she's getting I've read years ago. You know, so I just studied on my own. I always loved studying. And to be a Bible teacher or a pastor, you have to study. There's a lot of pastors on Saturday night, they don't even know what they're preaching on. They download a sermon off the internet. But it's so important to get in this word, not just to get a big head knowledge, but the word of God that worketh in you, it energizes you, it gives you spiritual energy, strength. It reminds you of who you are in Christ. It reminds you of, this is the way you walk, because this is who you are. You're a child of God, you're a saint of God Most High, right? And we want to bring, it reminds us that our lives can bring glory to Christ, or we can shame the name, right? And when we stay in this word, God speaks to us intimately as we rightly divide it. He reminds you who you are in Christ, the relationship you have, that he wants a close, intimate relationship. You know, we can be closer to Christ, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, more than anybody because God knows us. He knows you at your worst. You go, but he sees you in Christ. And he loves you at your worst. He don't love you more when you're doing the right things, and he'll love you less because you're messing up. Does that cause us to want to just go mess up because he ain't going to punish us? He punished Christ? No. It teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live upright and godly, to be zealous for good works, right? And this is where he speaks to us. And then we speak to him in prayer, and there's that intimate relationship all through the day. And I can't believe I'm, you know, 66 on the 22nd. Where to go? You young guys, it's going to go. How about old Bill? Do you believe? You know, I tell my body, hey, I still do this stuff when I was in my 30s, and my body says, you wish. I still do a lot, you know, but it just, time goes. That's why Paul says, redeem the time. The days are evil. It's going to get worse. But I told Mary, it wouldn't matter if our country, we got every, I wouldn't want to see it, and I pray for our leaders every day like we do at church. But if it got taken over and maybe like a communist thing and people are freaking out, we can still have joy and we can still have peace. We can still be rejoicing. Paul was in jail singing, right? The other, and people see it. The other prisoners heard him. It doesn't matter, because what we got in Christ, if we're focused on him, beholding Christ with the veil of the law lifted off our minds, and that we're conformed more and more into his image. I don't care what you're going through, you can be rejoicing, because it's God's will. Rejoice. Like Paul says, again, I say rejoice. Give thanks in all things. How can you give thanks? Because God's working all things for your good. You say, well, I don't see it. You ain't supposed to live by sight. You're supposed to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing. We're back to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Right? Thank you, Lord. I don't understand how you're going to work this one for my good. But I'm not you. You have all knowledge. You're omniscient. Right? You're all powerful. God is able. He can do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. I'm so glad every day I thank God that it's, Father, you working in me both to will and to do according to your good pleasure, that what you began in me, you're going to finish. He's faithful. But his Spirit wants to produce in us faithfulness. That's fruit of the Spirit. And so, let's keep going here. In verse 8, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. They're going to go off scene. For we know in part, partial knowledge, right? And we prophesy in part. That's what these apostles were doing. They were the Holy Spirit was revealing to them little parts. But Christ gave it directly to Paul. And then the Holy Spirit, you know, he has a part in with us also. You want the Spirit to speak to you today? Don't listen for voices. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He'll whisper in your ear, sweet nothings. If you want to know God's will, you want God to speak to you, his word's completed now. That's where he's going to speak to us. But when that which is perfect, remember I said that word perfect? Remember that, because you're going to run into a charismatic Pentecostal that you're trying to share about right division, how important it is. And one of the hardest people to deal with, people that had experiences. Like that old, the guy used to co-pastor the church with, now he's a chaplain at the rehab, Tom Hensel. He's sharing with this lady. She used to be the sweetest lady, kind of real heavy set lady, but she now thought, because she's watching Pat Robinson and them, that she's a prophetess. And she's prophesying over people. And Tom's showing her here in the Word of God. And she says, Tom, I can't deny my experience. That's what people want to go by. Satan will give you all kinds of experiences. Think of the Antichrist. What's he going to do? Deceitful signs and wonders, right? When he comes. And people are going to just be following him. And so, again, but when that which is perfect, that's in the neuter, that's the Word of God has come. It's completed now. Then that which is in part, partial knowledge, tongues, gift of knowledge, prophecy of the sign gifts of the apostle, shall be done away. When I was a child, what's a child? Immature, right? So at this time, there was an immature understanding of this whole body of truth called the mystery, because Christ was still giving Paul visions and revelations. He's dispensing it to him. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Listen to this. But when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away childish things. Paul's very sarcastic. He's being sarcastic here. He's telling them, you want to play with these spiritual toys? They're going off the scene, people. And you're going to be attached to them. They're not going to be here. Oh, then we'll fake it. We'll say tongues are babbling. Ashanakataha. I used to do it. And Paul deals with that in some of these chapters here, how even musical instrument has distinctions in the notes. You know, every language. When I started studying out tongues, that issue, because I was in a Pentecostal church, I read a book on linguistics. And I don't know if it was a Christian book or if it was secular, but they said people in different churches all speak, they sound the same. Like the way the pastor speaks in tongues, everybody copies them. And this church will sound different because they're copying. They're learning from people. It's not the Holy Spirit. He says, for now, we see through a glass darkly. So it's not clear yet. You ain't got all that. Paul didn't get all the full body of truth. He calls a mystery. But then, see the change? When that which is perfect has come. But then shall know even as I am known. And now abideth, this is what's abiding even today. Hope, Christ is our blessed hope, the rapture is our blessed hope, right? Hope is a confident expectation. The gospel of grace brings hope in our lives. When things look bad, we can have hopes. And hope is an anchor for our soul. When you're depressed, it anchors you because it gives you hope. You know why people want to kill themselves? No hope. They get to a point. No hope. You want to help somebody who's talking about that? And they probably ain't joking if they're talking about it. Unless they're trying to manipulate you. Oh, if you don't do that, I'll kill myself. Your kids. I hate you. Good, you're supposed to. I'm your parent. Yeah. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. These three, but the greatest is charity. The greatest is love. And that's going to abide. That's still abiding. The only thing that counts with God, Paul talks about, is faith expressing itself through love. That's what God's Spirit wants to produce in us. Let me see. I got three more minutes. We're not going to go back to Ephesians just for time. But in verse 20, remember Christ the chief cornerstone Paul talked about? 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. Actually, start in 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So, what are some descriptions of the body of Christ? Temple of the Holy Spirit. Building, right? You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given who? To me, Paul, unto you. Who? The body of Christ. As a wise master builder. Paul lays the foundation of grace. It starts in the book of Romans. That's the mechanics of the Christian life, actually. And it builds all the way till you get to Ephesians and Colossians. And you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, looking down. I have laid the foundation. So Paul lays the foundation for the body of Christ, right? There's one person, but God has two foundations. One for the body of Christ, one for Israel. And I'll read you the verse, hopefully in a minute. And another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How do you preach Jesus Christ today? Romans 16:25. But of him who is able to establish you, give you a firm, solid, steadfast, unmovable walk. By my gospel, Paul's good news, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, how? According to the revelation and the mystery that was hidden time past, right? Since the beginning of the world. And so, now if any man builds upon this foundation, Paul's gospel, the foundation Paul lays, Christ made him the architect of the dispensation of grace. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, that's good stuff, right? Or, this is most of the church, I'll tell you, building with wood, hay, and stubble. If every man's work will be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. You know what he's talking about? At the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, when he gives out rewards. The fire is judgment. When you see fire, many times it's judgment. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Are we abiding? Is our work and our ministry and our life built upon what Christ gave Paul for the body of Christ and us as individual members? Are we sharing the right gospel? Are we sharing a mixed gospel, Israel's program, and, you know, mixing Peter with Paul? They'll burn up. If any man's work abides, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as with fire. Go to chapter 4, verse 5. So, we have eternal life, so he's not talking about, Paul's clear with that. He's talking about our works being judged. You know, some of these big mega churches, they're going to have this big pile of works. And then maybe a little church like ours or the little grace churches and the pastors who have stood against persecution because being a grace believer by legalists. And they're going to have a big, big old pile of for Christ. I know it's in Israel's program when he said, well done, good and faithful servant. But I think he's going to say that to those who understand God's word rightly divided, Paul's gospel, that reach out to the lost and build up the saved. And he says, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Talk about at the rapture, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then every man have praise from God. See, again, he's got the Bema seat there. So it's not like we're going to be there crying, ooh, you know. That's going to be a time rejoicing. Everybody's going to get some rewards, for even if you just suffered here. So I can't keep going. But if anybody wants any notes after, I can show you where Christ is Israel's cornerstone for their program. and then we see how Christ is for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for revealing these deep things of you, Father, of your two different programs and helping us to see what's to us and about us. And I pray if there's one who's never trusted in Christ, Father, maybe they've been in church their whole life, maybe they've even been a pastor or a Bible teacher, but have never trusted in the gospel that Christ died for their sins. That means they have to recognize they're a sinner and that Christ died for sinners. According to the scriptures, he was buried and he rose the third day, according to the scriptures, and they'll be wonderfully saved by grace through faith, not of themselves. It's a gift from you, Father, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we just, I pray, Father, that you'll help us to meditate on these things during the week and that we might continue to grow in your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you all for coming.